some big news on Wall Street today as Twitter revealed their billion-dollar IPO plan.
That's right. Financials of the social media messaging service were announced yesterday, and the potential buyers of Twitter stock are finally able to take a look at some of the details, some of the numbers. Joining us now to discuss the news is Zachary Seward, a former Wall Street Journal reporter, and now senior editor of Quartz, a digital news outlet. Zach, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'd like to start with the basics on this. How closely has this Twitter offering been watched? Who's following it?
Well, it's probably the highest profile IPO, or at least tech IPO, since Facebook. And, you know, part of that has to do with the fact that so many people use these services that when they enter the financial markets, it's just naturally more of interest. It doesn't mean it's larger than other companies going public. It's just going to create a lot more buzz.
And it's not quite as large as Facebook. I heard one analyst call the Facebook offering a disaster, and I don't know if that's true, but I'd be interested in your thoughts on the Facebook offering and how it compares with this and maybe some lessons that the Twitter offering learned from that.
Yeah, I might go for the word debacle.
Okay, that's pretty good.
And that refers specifically to the Facebook IPO itself. Nowadays, Facebook has really recovered. It's trading at record highs. Social media stocks in general are doing very well, and that's part of the reason Twitter has timed its IPO for right about now. But the Facebook IPO went through a lot of hiccups, and I think in retrospect, people say that part of the problem was overheated anticipation of the offering itself. People got really excited. They overvalued Facebook. Facebook itself made some last-minute disclosures that rattled investors. There were problems on the first day of trading. What people close to Twitter's IPO tell me is that if nothing else, they're trying to have the anti-Facebook IPO to do this as quickly and quietly as they can.
And they had some help in that regard, right? There are some federal laws that changed that allowed them to make changes to the offering without disclosing it before now.
That's right. It's called the Jobs Act. It's a little more than a year old, and it's supposed to help so-called emerging growth companies go public or facilitate some of their options. I don't think people would generally think of Twitter, which has now 2,000 employees, as an emerging growth company or a small business, but because it has under $1 billion in annual revenue, it can take advantage of the Jobs Act. That meant it could submit its IPO filing secretly or confidentially to the SEC and get feedback and confidence before making public the document that it did yesterday.
So let's talk a little bit about what we've learned about Twitter since yesterday. One of the things we've learned is about some big gains in revenue that we've been seeing, but they've also got some big expenses on their books, too.
Yeah, exactly. I think the most impressive thing we saw was that in just about 2 years, Twitter went from almost no advertising revenue to a really significant advertising business. And last year, it generated $317 million in revenue. This year, it'll make a significant gain on that, it appears. That said, it lost $79 million last year, and it has, it turns out, never been profitable. And that, of course, raises the age-old question that, about these tech companies, which is why anyone would invest in an unprofitable company. Of course, if you are investing in Twitter, you're making a bet that it has a lot of growth still to go.
Yeah, in fact, I read another analyst who called the Twitter losses a non-issue. And, you know, for us civilians out here, how can that be? How can a company be in business for 6 or 7 years, lose all that money, and still be attractive to investors?
Well, here's the charitable answer, charitable to Twitter.
Okay.
You know, they've focused on making the best experience they can and growing the number of users as fast as they can. And they've been really successful at that. They disclose they have 218 million monthly active users, that is people who use it at least once a month. That's a pretty good number, though, of course, as you said, it's very small compared to Facebook. And those 218 million people who do use it tend to love it and are extremely engaged with the service. So at that, Twitter's been very successful. But yes, if you're making a bet on the company itself, you have to bet that it's going to be able to turn that engagement into actual money. So far it has been, just not enough money to show a profit.
And one of the things they have to be looking for, as opposed to people who are jumping in trying to make a quick profit and then get out, are those long-term investors. And that's what they're trying to appeal to here. Are they sending the correct message to those types of people that we're going to be around for the long term and that we're a bet that's worth making?
Yeah, I mean, they seem to be, and then any time you're entering the public markets, that's more or less what you're saying. IPOs are a little funny. The day before you start publicly trading is actually when the very first shares are distributed, and those go to insiders, people who are close to the banks that are underwriting the IPO, very wealthy individuals and institutions. They get the stock at the IPO price. It's only until the next day when it starts trading on the actual market, the stock market, that individual investors like you and me get a crack at investing in Twitter. That's what happened with Facebook. You know, people got in at a lower buying price, and then the average investor for a while at least seemed to have really been hosed by the deal.
And one of the things, we should have mentioned this, but the IPO is a couple weeks away yet. We've got this whole roadshow process that's got to carry itself out. How does that work? What are we be seeing then?
By law, Twitter has to wait 3 weeks from its filing, which was yesterday, before it starts this so-called roadshow. That's when it markets itself to potential large investors, goes around the country, and roadshow is a pretty appropriate term. It holds large meetings at which it goes through the details in this prospectus and tries to make itself look as attractive an investment as possible. That won't take very long, the roadshow, and Twitter's goal here is to start trading as a public company before Thanksgiving.
And I imagine their other goal is not to have any surprises, although there are going to be people looking at these things, and they'll be answering questions as part of this whole process.
Yeah, that's true. They may also have to make amendments to the filing, and that will, of course, be closely watched. Twitter is, you're correct, trying to do this as quietly and with as few bumps as possible, but that, you know, becomes less and less in your control when you enter the public markets, and at this point, anything could happen, including, I mean, we're in the middle of a government shutdown. The SEC has said it will remain open and process IPOs for, quote, a few weeks. That probably will be long enough for Twitter to pull off its IPO, but it's not 100% sure.
You know, another thing we haven't talked about so much is sort of the whole advertising market, what that looks like these days. And there's lots of competition for advertising. Prices there are being stressed. We've seen the income for Twitter going up, but at the same time, there have to be some questions there.
Correct. Twitter disclosed that it generates 85% of its revenue from advertising. So it's pretty much an ad company, just like Facebook, just like Google. And it, as I said, built that ad business in pretty much the last 2 years, which is very impressive. At the same time, it has a ton of competition, and it also disclosed that the rates that it charges for advertising have been declining, and that's a big risk, of course, to its business. The brightest note in the filing, I think, was that Twitter said 65% of its ad revenue comes from mobile devices, people's smartphones, essentially. That's really interesting because it contrasts starkly with Facebook. At the time of its IPO, 0% of Facebook's ad revenue was coming from mobile. And now Twitter is saying 65% of its revenue is mobile. That sort of reflects a broader shift in the web as a whole, and it does seem to suggest that Twitter is well positioned to, you know, maintain its business at the very least as people increasingly use their phones and abandon desktop computers.
All right. Well, Zachary Seward, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your time. Zachary Seward's been with us talking about the Twitter IPO that we've all been hearing about. And if you're going to be looking for that on the exchange, by the way, their symbol is going to be TWTR. So keep your eyes open for that. Zachary Seward, senior editor of the digital news outlet, Quartz.